Now we must do the last one step in the description of the motor, that is to ask to ourselves what happens when we complete the overall control chain by applying the load to the motor together with the adapter as we have already seen. Until now, in fact, we have achieved the representation only considering the motor integrated with the adapter. But now it is important and interesting to see how what we have described till now faces with the presence of the real application process we want to control and to manage by means of the motor itself. At the figure in slide 78, we see a blockchain into which we express the single transfer functions of the blocks that allow to us to achieve the real physical quantities that we want to control through the motor: the torque, the angular rotation velocity, and in some cases the angular position. It is not complex to recognize what we have said in such a diagram, because looking at those equations reported into the slide, we recognize the typical expressions that represent the evolution, the behavior of a direct current motor. First of all, here we can easily recognize the proportionality between the power supply, the voltage provided to a motor, and the rotation we obtained through the motor itself. When we say that ET is the voltage applied to the motor, really we are not perfectly right, because this is not exactly the voltage we apply. This is what remains after a certain loss in voltage due to the presence of inductor and resistor inside the motor, the so-called passive components. Since we know how the motor is carried out, we can easily imagine to have a magnetic effect and a resistive effect. So we provide a voltage V to the motor, but we lose something that is given, that is spent into the resistor and into the inductor, and we remain with another portion of the original voltage that is really proportional to the rotation velocity, concepts that we have already seen in mechatronics. These things are well represented in the first part of the blockchain by the transfer functions reported in it. Moreover, we have a subtraction point into which we subtract from the voltage provided the product of the constant key E by the rotation velocity. This value is multiplied by the transfer function due to the passive components and provides the effective current given to the motor to develop the required torque. In other words, that equation can be written as Vt equal to Et plus R time It plus L time the derivative function of the current in the time. Passing into the Laplace domain representation, where the derivative function is represented by the S term, we can write that V minus E is equal to the current I that multiplies the sum of the resistor R plus S time L. Or, in other words, the ratio between I and V minus E is equal to 1 divided by R plus S time L. That is, the relation between the current obtained and the difference between the two voltages, what is applied and what is spent for making the motor to really rotate, is a quantity like a typical low-pass relationship. And this says to us also that from an electronic point of view, the motor features a cutoff frequency like R on L that depends in such first approximation only on electronic terms, electronic constants, and for this reason clearly should be located on the range of high frequencies. So the cutoff frequency of the motor due to the resistors and the inductor components really does not affect the capability of the motor itself to help to control the behavior of the process we have to manage. We can also recognize that another important part of the relationship is that before the cutoff frequency we have a constant ratio between the torque and the current. That is exactly the type of control we want to have so as to manage the motor in the proper way to be able to exert a certain force at a certain distance without any limitation in velocity. As a conclusion, we can say that the message, as we remember, is that if we want to control the rotation velocity in a motor, we have to control the applied voltage. But if we want to control the torque that the motor applies to a mechanical device, we have to control, keeping fixed the voltage, the current that crosses the motor, because the torque is proportional to the current, while the effective voltage is proportional to the rotational velocity. This requires a very careful approach to these problems, because when the process that is moved by the motor is a process with a very big component in terms of weight, or it is a process into which friction, inertia, cannot be neglected, every time we will need to control the current, because the process requires to be moved through an exerted specific torque. In other words, it needs to receive a suitable force. Conversely, if the process is very light, no friction, no inertia, very small things, in that case we can imagine that by applying a voltage to that process, we will have immediately the corresponding rotation. In other words, we don't have any loss due to further passive components like those we have listed a minute ago. So, we can conclude that it is very important to clearly identify the characteristics of the process we have to control, to choose the right way to manage it, because it could happen that in the system we need to control the physical magnitude, could be in one case the torque and in another case the angular velocity, depending on the characteristics, the physical characteristics of the system itself. Now, let's look at slide 79 and let's consider the new situation into which we have a model, a couple of cogwheel to adapt the velocity and a load. We can apply the same equations that we have seen before, only we have to be careful to some new definitions. Also, the physical concepts and the physical magnitude that are involved are the same. We see, in other words, that tau is equal to Jm time the second order derivative function of the angular rotation of the motor plus bm time the first order derivative of the angular rotation plus d plus tau c. The terms are different, but again I repeat, the quantities are the same. Tau means the torque. Jm means the inertial coefficient of the motor itself. The second order derivative of the angular rotation is what previously we have written as the derivative function of the velocity, of the rotation velocity. Bm is the friction coefficient that is multiplied by the derivative of the angular rotation, that is the velocity. But two new terms appear, tau c and d. Tau c is, dimensionally speaking, a torque corresponding to the part of the general torque we have provided to the motor that is really used to move the load, explicitly exploited for the rotation of this part of the process. D, instead, means all the remaining. It still has the dimension of a torque, but includes possible causes that cannot be manipulated. In other words, we include in it other frictions that we have not considered in the first term we brought into the equation. Or, generally speaking, other things, maybe a bird that arrives on the load, stays for a moment and then flies away. D stands for disturbances, things that at the first sight we don't know. We have said that tau c represents the effective torque necessary for moving the load plus the adapter block. Let's go inside this term and let's try to represent the torque required by the load only. We can apply to such a kind of representation the same approach, the same concepts that we have used before in the general expression. So we can say that even for the load, it is necessary to expect that part of the provided torque will be devoted to win the opposition made by the inertia of the load itself. We can also expect that part of the provided torque will be necessary to get over the resistance opposed by the friction. And finally, we will have a final term, D prime, that will be used for... And finally, also in this case, we can suppose that part of the provided torque will be used to manage eventually present sources of disturbances that are identified in such equation with D prime. Now, let's go inside into the details of the equation that describes the adapter. We made the hypothesis of the presence of a cogwheel, so we must foresee a reduction factor equal to n, n is a positive integer number, and if the motor causes a rotation of the load of an angular value that is expressed by theta m, after the cogwheel the rotation will be theta m divided by n. This equation expresses well, as we can see in slide 80, what we have already observed. Compared to the velocity of the motor, the velocity of the load is reduced by the factor n, and this affects the angular movement, theta, the velocity of the load, theta point under the acceleration, the second order derivative function of the angular movement. All of them are reduced by the same factor n. In all the previous considerations, we didn't consider the possibility of a loss in the efficiency of the transmission of the mechanical power exerted by the motor to the load itself. In other words, if we would ask to ourselves what is the mechanical power of the motor, we conclude that it is given by the product of the torque by the angular velocity. We can express this mechanical power with the formula tau c by multiplied by theta m dotted, the first derivative of the angular movement. In the same way, we can say that the mechanical power received by the load is given by the product of its own torque tau prime by its own velocity, the derivative function of the angular movement theta dotted. A reasonable description of this phenomenon foresees that it is not possible at a first approximation that all the mechanical power of the motor will be given, will be transferred to the load, but it can be possible that a certain percentage of loss of this mechanical power must be considered. We indicate with xi, the Greek letter xi, this quantity, and if in the past we have supposed that xi is equal to 1, now we have to suppose that it is lower than 1, maybe 0.9, with a 10% loss. And in any case, it is correct to rewrite the equation as xi times the torque given by the motor times the angular velocity equal to tau prime multiplied by the velocity, the rotational velocity of the load. What could be the reason of such a loss of efficiency? We have already observed a few moments ago that the mechanism through which the contact take place between the two wheels of the two adapters that are used for reducing the velocity is done through the presence of suitable expansions of the two wheels, and one expansion of the wheel enters in the free space of the other one and vice versa. So it is clear that these contacts sometimes are not very precise, and of course in the time they are subject to damages, so decreasing the efficiency and the quality of the transfer of the mechanical power from the motor to the load itself. So it is very reasonable to introduce the xi term that represents all the possible problems of this type. From the equation that we have written just now, we obtain that tau c, that is the torque exerted by the motor towards the load, will be equal to tau prime, that is the torque really received by the load, divided by the reduction factor n and the xi term that expresses the loss in the transfer mechanism between the motor and the load itself. Now we can recover the definition of tau prime we have given a few minutes ago. Tau prime equal to jc multiplying the rotational acceleration plus bc, the friction, multiplying the rotational velocity plus d prime, and we can replace this quantity in the equation we have still written tau c equal to tau prime divided by n and xc. We will obtain that tau c is equal to 1 on n xc that multiplies the inertia multiplied by the acceleration divided by n plus the friction that multiplies the velocity divided by n plus the prime, or in other words, 1 on n xc that multiplies jc time the second derivative function of the angular displacement divided by n plus bc that multiplies the first order derivative function of the angular movement divided by n plus the prime. And here we can see that the presence of the adapter reduces the influence of the disturbances d prime on the general torque that is necessary to provide to the load. Finally, remembering that the original expression of the overall tau torque given by the motor was Jm multiplied by the acceleration of the motor plus Bm multiplied by the velocity of the motor itself plus the disturbances plus tau c. After having obtained tau c, we can replace this quantity with the new terms that we have written a minute ago, and we will obtain the final expression, that is jc that multiplies the acceleration of the motor divided by n square multiplied by xc plus bm multiplied by the velocity of the motor divided by n square xc plus d prime divided by n xc plus jm that multiplies the acceleration of the motor plus bm that multiplies the velocity of the motor plus d. Now we can merge all the corresponding terms that are those coefficients that multiply the accelerations and those coefficients that multiply the velocity into two new terms that are called inertia effective JF and friction effective BF, so as the new equation will be tau equal to J effective time the acceleration of the motor second order derivative of the angular movement plus the friction term B effective that multiplies the motor angular velocity minus tau d, where tau d includes these two quantities, d prime divided by n time xc plus d. The minus sign in the tau d term has only a conceptual significance, because if we consider the inertial terms and the friction terms, that is all components of the torque that are lost due to the inertial requirements of the system and the friction requirement of the system, we see that those terms feature a positive sign. Firstly, tau d includes all those components of the torque originally produced by the motor that will be applied to every object attached to the motor itself and will produce an effective and useful activity, an effective and useful work for those objects. The minus sign highlights the conceptual diversity between the two family of components, the passive ones represented by inertia and friction, and the active ones represented by tau d. Slide 81 shows the final model of the motor, including both the adapter and the load. We clearly see in this model that we will have two poles. The first is related to the electrical components, the inductor and the resistor. The second will be related to the mechanical passive components, friction and inertia. On a theoretical basis, we could say that the motor is characterized by a couple of poles in frequency. But in practice, the pole due to the electronic components is located so high in frequency that it will have no relationship at all with the range of frequencies that typically characterize industrial processes. So, in practice, only the pole that is due to the mechanical components of the motor itself is really present, must be really considered, and we can say that the motor is stable. To make our representation of the motor together with the adapter and the load complete, we have to consider possible sources for potential non-linearities. The first one is related to the relationship between the torque that we obtain if we apply a suitable current to the motor itself. The figure shown in slide 82 shows what it is realistic to think. That it is not possible that applying a very big current to the motor we will obtain a very big torque. Of course, there is a limitation that saturates the capability of the motor to provide a suitable torque, and this limit is present both if we consider positive currents that will make the motor to rotate in one sense, and if we consider negative currents that will make the motor to rotate with the same intensity but in the opposite direction. Another possible source for a non-linearity is the so-called dry friction effect. With this term, we mean that corresponding to a certain velocity that we want to obtain, it is necessary to apply a torque that gets over a certain threshold before obtaining an appreciable velocity in the rotation of the motor. The friction, of course, opposes, as we well know, to the movement of the motor itself, and if the force exerted is not enough, no movement at all it is obtained. The diagram in slide 82 shows the presence of these two thresholds, both for the rotation clockwise and for the rotation counterclockwise. The last source of non-linearities is due to the fact that typically the contact between the cogwheels and the adapters is not perfect. We could say that there is a play between these two devices. This will turn out into a behavior that is hysteretical, as shown in the figure in slide 82. This is not good because it means that the relationship between the angular displacement of the motor and the angular rotation corresponding to it of the adapter is defined in a not univocal way. In other words, we could have two movements of the motor that will correspond to a unique angular displacement of the adapter and vice versa, and clearly this introduces a certain degree of ambiguity in the description of the overall system. The figure in the lower part of slide 82 includes all these possible effects, for a complete and definitive, we could say, description and modelization of the motor, the load applied to it through an adapter, and including all the possible sources of non-linearities.